Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Hello. This is the last week before BlizzCon. It'll be the two of us, and then you're gone. You're gone to BlizzCon. And it'll be me and somebody else.
And I accidentally stole Bo, who was supposed to fill in for me. I asked him to do a stream goal to help fund his trip to BlizzCon, which then resulted in him being able to attend BlizzCon.
True.
Which means he also cannot host with you. So I apologize.
It's true. Yeah. Now, he did give credit to you. He did say Jocelyn Moffat of the Angry Chicken had convinced me to do this stream. And I even said to him, he had mentioned to me, like, oh, Jocelyn said I should go, so I'm going to go. And then I think before that, you had said to me, Bo's going to BlizzCon, as if it had already happened. And
that's how confident I was.
And really, I think the unsung hero of Bo going to BlizzCon is really Ryan saying, Jocelyn's right, you should probably go to BlizzCon. I mean, you know. So Bo is going to be going to BlizzCon. I wouldn't say ruining, but I would also probably say, like, just, you know, putting on hiatus a two-year tradition of having a prediction show with Bo. I don't actually know when he's leaving. I was so heartbroken that I already replaced him. So we're going to have first member. It's going to be Mike from the College Gamers podcast. He's going to come on.
Wonderful.
And we're going to do some predictions. Bo, I apologize if you're listening and you were actually leaving after the first, which I doubt. most people leave on the first, but if you are, I apologize. I should have checked with them.
You've been replaced.
Yes. I mean, we could have three people on. There's room in the notes. What I really want to do is I want to get a fresh perspective on there so Bo and I both don't predict Diablo 4 and then just disappoint about 1,000 people who listen to the show.
You guys, Diablo 4, I'm sorry, it's not happening.
It's not happening.
They're dropping that like a hot potato.
And I'm going to put in the notes,
like, loot boxes, they don't want anything to do with it.
If it has a single player component,
Diablo 4, and it's going to have loot boxes, and I mean, really, which one would you rather have? No Diablo 4 or Diablo 4 loot boxes?
Ooh. Personally, I would rather have no Diablo 4.
Exactly.
I think I've had it up to here with loot boxes, and this is a video show, so check out youtube.com/amovetv. I'm putting my hand above my head.
It's way up there.
It's not even on the webcam anymore. I think that loot boxes are terrible, Jocelyn, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about them forever. So
they're not going anywhere. So speaking of loot boxes, you have now officially made it through Shadow of War to the point where loot boxes started to matter, right? So, yeah.
So Monday I completed Act 3 of Shadow of War, which concludes the main campaign. It basically gives you the point of no return. It says, if you don't finish these quests, you're not going to be able to finish these quests. And the quests that you finish do tell a story that finishes based on the character that those quests are for. So, you know, that's a super duper non-spoilery way of saying finish the quest before you
complete. Don't spoil it because I'm still in Act 2. So,
And the way Act 3 ends is it basically says, like, everything's done, but Act 4 presents an opportunity for you to continue playing with a story reason. So as Act 4 begins, there is a story reason for you continuing to play, and Act 4 is called The Shadow Wars, which honestly isn't a spoiler. It's basically the title, you know, it's not that big a deal. And it is, I don't know, I haven't hit the point where loot boxes are like crazy, I need to go buy these right now, because basically what Act 4 does is it takes the, you might have noticed the level caps for each region, in that when you're playing that region, when you're playing that region, it has a set, like, oh, all the orcs here are level 10 and all the orcs in the next location are level 20. Basically what happens in Act 4, it takes every region and says, no, they're all going to be about 3 or 4 levels above you, to kind of like kick up the
difficulty level.
The difficulty, yeah, a bit. And I found that what it does is the quest is basically your forts, which you've all captured in Act 3, are now under attack from an evil entity. It's Lord of the Rings. You could probably assume which one it is. And basically, you have to defend. And if you don't defend successfully, which I did in the second stage, in the first stage, it's basically I defended properly, which means you protect all of the victory points, and then you kill every wave of war chiefs that are assaulting your fort. And then it's like, you did it, you defended, all's well. You move on to the next stage, and it says, this fort is under attack. So you go to that fort, and this is where it starts to get a little messy, in that I was swarmed, as is to happen in this game, as is tradition. A bunch of orcs come around, and they basically, like, surround you and slowly chop at your life until you're dead. And because the orcs are of a higher level, they have a higher, you know, amount of traits and amount of, you know, immunities and weaknesses. So basically what happened is, one war chief got a real lucky punch in. It just happened. I'm not even lying. He just got one in. He sucker punched me, and I went down. And when I died, what happened was it said, "Hey, you failed the fort defensing. Because you died, all your other capable warriors just basically gave up," which is a little frustrating because, you know, you put a lot of effort into having those orcs and making them war chiefs and building them up. Now, this is where I thought, oh, this is where it's going to get annoying, because now all of my war chiefs are going to disappear because everything's been, everything's gone to shit. Yeah. So I come back in, and no, that's not the case. All your war chiefs are basically kicked out of the fort, which, honestly, nicest orcs ever, that they didn't just kill all my guys. They just kind of, like, let them go. except for the warlord, the overlord. He was captured, and you have a mission to save him if you want. But let's face it. Don't save him. He should have done a better job to begin with. And then
brutal.
I know. Well, you know what? Talion gives no shits. So we just motor on here. And what happened was I failed that quest, and that initiates the next step of stage two, which is, okay, you failed. You lost the fort. The region's been lost to the enemy. Now you have to take it back. And it's that, so far, that is the push and pull. And then when you take it back, it resets it, so it's all, you know, the overlord's bad, all the war chiefs are bad, and you have an option to slowly peck away at it to kind of disable its defenses, or you can just go in guns blazing and try to take it with all the war chiefs present. And I chose to slowly peck away at it and make it a little easier, and what happened was, basically, as soon as I took it back, that succeeded that stage, and I was fine. And moved on to the next stage. So at least...
Oh, okay. So it doesn't, like, set you all the way back to stage one. It kind of keeps you going in stage two.
There, so far, the progress seems to be moving forward in a way that makes sense. So if you lose the fort and you take it back, you have effectively defended it, even though you died and you had to take another whack at it. So that was nice. But basically what happened where the loot boxes come in is that as... Now, this is only the second stage of 10, so as you're going forward, I can see it being a bit of a grind where, as you're taking on forts that are more heavily defended, or you're defending forts that are more heavily defended, your guys are in the line of fire, and it only takes, you know, you not paying attention to them bleeding out or them having a weakness against the guys that are coming in for them to die, you know, permanently. That being said, I've been playing on and off for about the last 2 weeks.
So when they die permanently, that depletes your army. So then that's where the loot boxes come in, because then you use the orcs and the loot boxes to replenish your army, basically.
Exactly. But the thing is, you don't really need the loot boxes, because there are constantly these high-level orcs coming at you. They're either attacking your fort, and as long as you don't squander the opportunity to add them to your ranks... you're constantly getting new dudes. And then if you die in battle and they take over the fort, well, that's a whole six new people to take over, add to your ranks, and the process continues. Again, I'm only stage two, so I can see where it might get a little more... It is grindy right now, and I can see that present, because you're not enjoying... You're not getting more cutscenes, more story. It's literally just...
So assuming you keep playing and you play through all the way through these 10 levels of push and pull of, you know, taking over fortresses and coming back again, what is the end game? Like, what happens after level 10 of Act 4? Like, do you get more story? Do you, like, what are you trying to get to? What are you trying to unlock?
You get a cutscene, from what I understand. So it's about the equivalent of a Marvel credit stinger, basically. But instead of the credits, you're slogging through 20 hours of additional. I shouldn't say slogging. Like, you're doing what should be the most fun part of the game, except for the fact that they haven't peppered in little rewards throughout. So instead of getting rewards every hour with a new cutscene or quest, you're getting one reward at the very end, which is this cutscene, which is on YouTube, as is, you know, the way things work on the internet these days. You can just look it up. Yeah. And, you know, I think as soon as I get burnt out, I'll probably just look it up, because, I mean, the cutscene isn't what's driving me to play it, and the cutscene isn't really a very good reward, nor would a cool prize be a reward, like some sort of power up. Like, if you work through,
that's kind of the thing, right? Like, that's kind of the thing about single player experiences, is if you're grinding, it's really hard to reward that grind, because it's like there's no more game after it, so it's not even like you can get some sort of like super powerful like bow or something as a reward. And cosmetics don't really matter, because you're not playing with anybody else. So you don't have anyone else to kind of show off to, I guess, is the best way I can put that. You know, like, the reason I like skins in Smite and Heroes of the Storm is because I'm playing with my friends and I can be like, hey, look at this. This is really cool. And, you know, like, I can show it off to my enemies and be like, haha, at one point I had 10,000 gold with which I bought this amazing golden rooster mount. Like, you know, like, you can kind of, you can show off a bit more in multiplayer games. And so cosmetics are less rewarding in single player games. Like, even when I'm leveling up, say, in World of Warcraft, I'm always like transmogging my stuff constantly, even when I'm leveling up, so that my character looks cool. Because I know I'm seeing other people and I don't want to look dumb. But, like, for comparison, South Park, which I'm playing right now, which is a single-player experience, I don't care what my character looks like. Like, my gear is totally mismatched, and I'm just like, ah, whatever. Because it doesn't matter. No one else is seeing me. Like, it's just for me. So, I don't know. I think it becomes difficult to reward a super grindy single-player game. The only thing that I can think of is obviously rewarding with more story, but there is no more story. You're at the end of the game.
Yeah, and you know, I will say, you know, this will probably be the last time we talk about, I'll talk about Shadow of War. I think if Jocelyn goes a little further, we can do some more little spoilery stuff, because I think there's a genuine conversation that can be had between, like, when we did the first episode with this game, there was this back and forth between someone who knows nothing about Lord of the Rings besides the first three movies, and then someone who's read the books and has a better understanding of how to pronounce things. I'm not going to go down that road again. But I think that would pretty much be, outside of DLC, that would be the only chance we would have to talk about this game again. But in terms of the loot boxes, I have not purchased any, nor do I, nor have I had to, because in the game there are these little quests you can do, these community challenges, and there's two community challenges a week, one during the week and one on the weekends, that offer loot boxes specific to the challenge. And honestly, I haven't placed any of the guys that I'm getting from that, because I haven't needed to, due to the fact that a bunch of these high level guys are coming in into my fort and being like, hey, you know, I'm here for you. and then you turn the tables. But you get these loot boxes, you open them, and it's like, it feels good. And in terms of showing off, there is the online conquest stuff, but I think that there as well is kind of cheapened by the fact that your whole Act 4 is online conquest, except there is no progression. But with online conquest, there is, you know, some rankings and stuff, and you can kind of, you know, show off your orcs that are present in your army and actually defend against random online players, which is cool to kind of come in and see that, you know, oh, my fort successfully defended against three people. You know, I didn't see it physically, but I can see the little tally. And
I was going to say, do you see that? But yeah, you don't actually get to, like, play and defend. Like, you don't get a notification saying, like, oh, Billy Bob 792 is attacking my fort. You don't actually get to, like, go to that fort, play your hero, and take them on in an actual kind of PvP setting. That would be really cool.
It's asynchronous. It's all AI-based. And The other thing I will say, though, at the end of Act 3, you know, talking about gameplay, you know, and gameplay as a reward and story as a reward, at the end of Act 3, they do present you with a change that makes the start of Act 4 appealing because you are playing around with that change. And that's all okay. I'll say. In the sense that, you know, the early part of Act 4 I have been enjoying because it's more of what I loved in Shadow of War, focused in on the forts and taking over orcs and... I kicked up the difficulty as well near the end of the game just because I felt it was way too easy. So I'm also experiencing, you know, the Nemesis, which is what they recommend you play on. But I just, I've had so little time to play video games. The last thing I want to do is just die constantly. So now I'm dying constantly.
Oh, so
which
you
is
weren't
nice.
Even, oh, okay. So you weren't even playing because I think I played on, how many difficulty settings does it have? There's is it four or five?
Three, I think.
Oh.
I only saw three.
Because I'm playing on like the above the normal one.
So Nemesis, yeah. So you're playing on the recommended.
Yeah. I'm playing with the full, yeah.
You're playing full with system. the full experience. And it's all the same systems, except the orcs are just more likely to have things that will kill you, including just skill sets. So I have been enjoying that. I'm finding it a lot, you know, things are moving quicker because I'd find in the Nemesis system, I'd start sending my guys on missions, but they'd never actually get a chance to do the missions because they would never advance because I would never die. But I did enjoy it from the standpoint of someone who knows nothing about the lore. The story was entertaining, and I felt like I could see this leading into, you know, the War for the Ring or whatever the hell comes next. I know nothing. I know if you finish it, it might be a little different of a conversation. But I really enjoyed it, and I can kind of see where the reviews are coming from on both sides. But I do sort of side with the people who just gave it really glowing reviews because I really, really enjoyed it. And honestly, the loot box stuff is blown out of proportion, both by, you know, a vocal minority of gamers, but also the publisher itself, because you go in there and it's plastered everywhere. You see it on every screen, every pause screen, and it is a little daunting that the publisher thinks you need this stuff. And I haven't seen it yet. Nor do I think I will, because...
When you say it's on every pause screen, do you mean, like, the little kind of news feed, like, image thing at the bottom? Oh, okay, because I was like, that's one thing that I thought Shadow of War actually did a pretty good job of, but maybe it's because of where I am in the game, is I never felt like I had to buy loot boxes. I never felt like they were in my face.
No, you're
but
not...
I don't consider, like, a news ticker with images at the bottom of a pause screen to be... intrusive, I guess. What would be intrusive to me is like every time you went into your fortress, if a pop-up came up and said, welcome to your fortress, go buy loot boxes so you can get orcs, like that to me would be a total deal breaker in terms of like intrusiveness with like microtransactions in games. Anytime there's an actual like pop-up that interrupts my gameplay, like if I'm interrupting my gameplay anyways because like I have to go get a drink or something, then I'm probably not even paying attention to the screen all that much anyways. So, you know, if I'm pausing the game, it's because I have my attention is needed elsewhere, right? So I think a pause screen is a perfectly reasonable place to put it's like a launcher, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that's reasonable to be like, here's things you can do to spend more money on our game. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
It's not, I don't find a problem with it. I just know that if it's anywhere, advertise anywhere, like they see that as a problem. And I think if Warner Brothers wanted to just kind of sidestep just that easy ammo for people who are really against this kind of stuff, like just wherever it's present, I understand the need for loot boxes. I understand the options, giving options to players who want to purchase those loot boxes, but once again, there just really isn't a need so far to purchase them unless you are just really, really bad at the game.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I think that's kind of okay. You know, I still don't like loot boxes in games, but what can you do? Seems to be here to stay. And I think that as long as you can progress through the game and still have a good time and never feel like you have to, like if you can just use your skill or your time in place of loot boxes, then I think it's okay. It's where you get to a point where, you know, you have to buy loot boxes in order to get through the end game. That, to me, would be, I think, a problem.
Yeah.
But again, like you said, you're at level 2 of 10. It might, by the time you hit level 5 of 10, you might start to feel like you have to buy, like, the legendary orcs sort of thing. Legendary boxes for legendary orcs.
Exactly. And in which I probably would just stop playing at that point. And I wouldn't consider exactly. it.
And again, because there's nothing really waiting for you on the other end.
I had this conversation last night when I was playing Destiny 2 with Boulanger, and I basically said to him, like, yeah, I finished it, and, you know, I'm at the end game, quote unquote, and we were talking about Destiny 2 rating and, you know, whether that was something that we wanted to do, and it was kind of like, well, with the limited time we have to play games, if I got 30 hours into a game, and then that 30 hours was then in service of another, you know, infinite amount of hours, like, I'm happy with that 30 hours. Like, that's time and money well spent. And with Shadow of War, it's like, that 30 hours was a lot of fun. I'm happy with that time with the game, and I will happily just shelve it for now until there's DLC or a reason to go back to it. Grinding the end game in it while putting aside, you know, Mario Odyssey, Destiny 2, South Park, like, that's not interesting to me. I'd rather experience something new than just grind through.
Well, yeah, because this is also a, you know, very, very busy month, a very busy time of year, October, November. And you just mentioned the next thing we're going to talk about, Destiny 2. You actually got Destiny 2 on PC, which is what we've been waiting for, because Destiny 2 has been out on console for quite a while now, which is actually one of the problems that seems to be splitting the community. There's a couple of people I've talked to who were really excited about playing on PC, but, like, all their friends, like the people that they raid with and all the rest of it, are already through all the content on console, so they have no one to play with on PC, and everyone's, like, burnt out on the game and doesn't want to play anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's a really odd decision, I think, for them to release on console and then, you know, kind of split their audience so much, because now the PC players are not in a really great place. But you're playing on PC and enjoying it, question mark?
Yeah, no, I've been having... I only played for maybe, like, a couple hours last night, because it just literally launched yesterday at 1 p.m., so you kind of cut your day in half there. A lot of folks already got through the campaign.
What do you mean? That's when my day starts, Ryan. I don't know what's wrong with you.
that's the golden point where, like, Caden's gone to bed, and it's like, all right, I've got, like, an hour before anybody else starts crying. Let's do this. I actually didn't get the chance to play until the evening. So when I did get to play, it feels so weird to be playing this game on PC, having played Destiny on the consoles for like 3 years. But then once you shake that weirdness, you realize, oh, this is a competent shooter with a mouse and keyboard, and this is the reason why people prefer this control method for this type of game. Feels really good. It's solid. I'm not going to talk about story except for the fact that they just take Destiny 1 and everything about it and just kind of like crumple it up and throw it into the wastebasket. It's like, you don't need this anymore, guys, because this is the sequel that we meant to make a while ago. So they literally create like a Walking Dead reset button where just everything explodes. The people who matter make it, and the people who don't, that they don't want to pay for VO anymore, they just shuffle them aside. That literally happens in the first, you know, mission. They just it was the beta mission as well. They explode the tower, and the evil people come in and they take over. So that was interesting. I get why they did it, but as someone who loves story in games and kind of likes the way Bungie tries to tell a story and likes their stories in general, it's really frustrating to see them restart again, you know, because they did that with Destiny to the Taken King, and then the Taken King to the Red whatever was next. And then with Destiny 2, it's like, no, we're not going to continue those threads. We're going to, you know, start a new one again.
Right, and so weren't you saying when you played through Taken King that there was something like at the end of Taken King, like some sort of like a cliffhanger or like I remember you like being excited about like where they might potentially take it. So they just like dropped that completely?
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the other thing too. I'm going to admit this. I am grossly uninformed because as someone who has not done any of the raids, there's people in our Discord who I've been talking to who know this game inside and out, who have done all the raid content. Now, I don't know if there's story presented in those raid contents and offer a conclusion similar to how WoW would offer a conclusion at the end of a raid with a cutscene.
Right.
But I don't think we get that. And I could be wrong with Destiny. I don't think we got that. But from all intents and purposes, like, they're the story being told at the end of Taken King and at the end of Destiny and at the end of the Red Legion campaign content there isn't present at the beginning of Destiny 2, and the reset button that they hit feels like a pretty clear swipe across the table in terms of let's start this fresh again.
We're starting fresh, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, I should mention that the big baddie that is always referenced, you know, with the Traveler, the big ball of orb and the light and the darkness, like there's those overarching evil versus good that is still present, but it's the on the ground, the boots on the ground bad guys that have basically wiped all the other boots on the ground bad guys. There's still the big baddies up in the air, like the best way to describe it would be like there's still like the Zelda, the Link, and the Ganon, but there's like little things that have taken over the other little things that were happening. But story isn't why people are playing this. It's because it's a really cool shooter. It works online with all your friends and it's fun to play with other people. And I'm looking forward to jumping in. I know there's a pretty strong AMOVE community in the Blizzard the new
launcher.
Launcher. So
well, that's the other thing too, yeah, is that Destiny 2 is on PC in the Battle.net launcher. So they're kind of tapping in, and I think successfully, because you're right, there are a lot of people in the Battle.net launcher and in the AMOVE community who are taking part in Destiny 2. So I think that they are really leveraging that kind of community and platform that they've built. So yeah, Destiny 2, I mean, even like when I like open Battle.net, it's like flashing at me that like, oh, Destiny's available now. Destiny's, I'm like, I know, I don't want it. But I think that there's they've done a good job of kind of tapping into that existing platform and existing community.
Yeah, there was a lot of people playing last night. You know, similar to the Heroes 2.0 launch, I have not experienced anything like this in the Blizzard launcher, you know, since then. We're just seeing like 10 to 15 people playing Destiny, which is probably like 30 to 50% of my friends list, right? Like, I don't have a huge friend list, but there's a lot of people playing Destiny too.
I was gonna say, that's what mine always looks like with Hearthstone.
Yeah, I know. I'm you're an outlier though.
My friend list is made up of people who play Hearthstone exclusively. Exactly. So
I'm a pretty good a pretty good subset, you know, like it's a good representation, I think. But I enjoyed what I played. I'm looking forward to playing more, and we should have, I'm gonna start digging to see like whether there is an AMOVE clan, but I know there's an AMOVE group in the Blizzard launcher, which is a start, and I believe the link is on the AMOVE.tv website, so check that out and get connected, because I know there's tons of people. So if there isn't a clan, there will probably be one very soon, in which I'm sure people who have more time will do more things than I, so you can play with them. Probably it's probably a better way. I am so behind. I just got to the point where I can start grouping with other people, so yeah, it's
and that
it's
was Destiny. Kind of my problem with the first Destiny is that I was just so far behind that when it actually came time to do stuff, like I just, oh man, couldn't keep up, and yeah, it wasn't great.
Yeah, it's a game. Again, I was talking to folks yesterday about it. It's a game that I find, like Diablo, you want to just politely ignore or politely ask people not to send you invites. Do the story content by yourself. Progress to the end of the campaign solo. Experience that. Because you're going to be playing those missions over and over again with other people at higher level for higher rewards, and they're going to be skipping story content and stuff. So you'll get to experience the group content later with some of the better missions. So just enjoy the story for what it is on your own, just soak it in, and then you'll get to play with all your friends, and you know, jump into Crucible, and we did that last night, just kind of like, I don't want to do any story content with as a group, I just want to do that on my own, but we'll go into Crucible and do a couple matches and stuff. So that's sort of my
Crucible
advice.
Crucible is the PvP part?
Yeah, sorry, Crucible, yeah, is PvP. So I'm terrible at it. We died a lot. So nothing new there. Mouse and keyboard isn't an instant win, turns out, because everyone else has a mouse and keyboard. So I just can't win, Jocelyn.
Oh man, I feel a lot like I can't win sometimes too. I've been playing some South Park, and oh man, I don't know. I like it, but I don't know. I like it, but I don't like it at the same time. It's kind of weird. I mean, I enjoy the game. It's gotten to the point where I did find a bunch of different kind of references to some of the stuff that happened in this most recent season in South Park. So I feel like that, like South Park, the fractured but whole, is actually a continuation from the TV show, which I really, really like. So I mentioned the member berries last week. I stumbled upon some of them, and they're funny as they always are. But I don't know. There's something about it that just it's not pulling me back in right now, which is odd. Like when I was playing Shadow of War, I couldn't put it down. Like I really, really liked it. I wanted to play more. And, you know, like same with just basically every other gaming experience I've got going on right now. Like I've got lots and lots and lots of different titles that I'm playing. We're just about to get our hands on Assassin's Creed, and Mario is coming out on Friday. Both those titles are coming out this week. So like it just, I almost like it just can't compete. And it's not necessarily anything about it. I haven't hit any like walls necessarily. I mean, I finally got a controller to work, so that was good. But some of the little mini games are just not really fun, and they're challenging in a super weird way. Like, I mean, I've been very, very clear in the past on how I absolutely hate like the mash a button mini games, or like just mechanics in general. Anytime you put it in a video game and it's like you have to tap a button to try to get into a situation or out of a situation or whatever, I hate that mechanic so much. I wish they would just never do it again. And South Park is full of that.
Ugh.
So yeah, I think maybe that's it. Is that it's not that it's like too challenging or anything. It's just that there's so much of the mashing of buttons that, yeah, I'm just not liking it. And playing through the story, while it's interesting and while it's funny, it is like playing through episodes of South Park. I want to be doing other things right now. So again, like it's not necessarily bad. And if you like South Park and you know, playing through episodes sounds like fun, then, you know, like absolutely pick it up. But yeah, I think I'm going to kind of put it off on the side for a little while.
Because I know it was in the month that is October, we had this list of games, and, you know, sacrifices must be made because there's only so much time in the day, and we all have other commitments and other games that, you know, call to us every once in a while. So it's interesting to see this one drop off the list, because I know it was probably one of your most anticipated AAA titles, you know, being such a South Park fan, right?
And I think had it come out in September, or, you know, like maybe even like kind of like June, like through the summer, you know, that's kind of when I had the time to play things. And now that there's just so many other titles, and some of them I think are just more fun gameplay loops for me, which is really interesting, because in general, I'm very much like story greater than mechanics. But like I've experienced the exact opposite of that with Shadow of War versus South Park. Shadow of War is like, here's our mechanics right in your face. They're awesome. Don't worry about our story. South Park's like, here's our story right in your face. And, you know, like, the mechanics are kind of meh. And I'm finding myself choosing mechanics over story, which is something I have never done as a gamer. So yeah, it's been kind of an interesting revelation for me as a gamer this month. But yeah, I don't really, South Park's not grabbing me. I don't have a ton of time. And yeah, I'll probably come back to it eventually. I went back to Stick of Truth, like, because a very similar thing happened to me, actually, come to think of it, was Stick of Truth. So, cat, butt in the face. Sorry. Yeah, so a very similar thing happened to me with Stick of Truth. So maybe I'll go back to it eventually and I'll really enjoy it. But, I mean, there are some really funny, like, plot points and story beats in South Park, but it just, It's not really my jam right now, unfortunately. Because I do love South Park. Like, I can binge that TV show starting at any point, and I just freaking love it. But yeah, for some reason, just not doing it.
I can see that. And the thing is, for those folks who do want to give it a shot, I saw, and I was going to give it a shot, I just ran out of time before the show because I knew we were going to talk about it tonight. But there is a one-hour trial, both available on Xbox and PS4. So if you are interested in trying it, to give it a shot, you can do it that way. I think Stick of Truth was one of those games that I always meant to go back to, because I appreciate a good amount of comedy in a good game, and those are far and few between. So And I think a lot of people agreed with that sentiment, and that it's like it's a good game. I want to play it, but there's just so much else going on right now, and South Park just isn't as flashy as a lot of the other stuff that's coming out. Like, yeah, it's mm-hmm. just as sad as it is to say. Like, you'd think I think that the splash that Stick of Truth made, it was almost impossible for Fractured But Whole to do the same thing because. Stick of Truth was just, I don't know, it was so new, and then it did it so well that it was so hard to top just the look and feel of it. And then you look at big box sequels like Shadow of War and Mario Odyssey and Destiny 2 coming to PC. It's just it's a hard month to compete in, and I think you're right. If it had come out in September, it definitely would have got more play, because I feel like September was a quieter month.
Oh yeah,
for everybody.
Was super quiet,
you know? Yeah. And, you know, myself included, there's always something going on, something new, at least once a month. But I still look back at September and it's like, I don't think there was anything, really.
No, I remember, like, I was happy at the time because I was like, I know October is going to be this huge money sink for me in terms of games. It's nice that I don't have a lot to buy and play in September. But yeah, because it has to compete with so many other things. Yeah, it just it's not worth it for me right now. But I mean, like. Yeah, I'll go back to it eventually, I'm sure. And I am really looking forward to Mario and to Assassin's Creed. So, yeah, I'll have a ton to talk about when I come back from BlizzCon. And because, yeah, I'll get a lot of time in while I'm on planes, at least with Mario Odyssey. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we're coming into Extra Life. So I'm really excited. But, yeah, I'll have a lot to talk about after that. But, yeah, for now, I think I'm just going to. Stick of Truth is just going to be kind of fall by the wayside. But again, nothing necessarily against the game. It was fun. The updates they made to the combat were fine. It's just the amount of button mashing was just too much for me. But yeah, so we do have a patron ad this week from Simon, who says, Weekly News Desk is a podcast all about the geek news this week. Join your two knucklehead hosts, Andrew and Simon, as they keep you informed on movies, TV, video games, and books. You can find them on iTunes or at geeklynews.com. And if you would like to sponsor an episode of The Gamers Inn, or if you would like to take part in our Gamers Inn game nights, head on over to patreon.com/thegamersinn. You can also join our Discord and chat about games any time of the day or night at bit.ly/TGI Discord. Our topic of the week this week, or actually, I guess our news, it's not a topic, it's our news, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp has been announced. And so this is...
Just the way you said that, it sounded a little different.
What?
No. I'm super tired, and this is my fifth coffee for today, and it's just like, I thought you said Epic Camp, and I'm like, we haven't even got to talking about it yet. I know you kind of got burned on it.
Pocket Camp.
Yeah, exactly. You did it again.
I'm trying to enunciate, I swear.
Pocket Camp. Yes.
Pocket.
Pocket. I'm glad we're going to talk about this, because honestly, everything else got out of the way of Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. There's nothing else happening besides an uncorroborated. Thank you. Story about the Kinect being discontinued, but I mean, we could have told you that years ago. So I'm curious what you think about just the face value of the third game from Nintendo being this. I don't know what you've seen of it, so like, even just opening the article, if this is the first time you're seeing it, what pops into your head, like, in knowing what was a success or a failure for Nintendo in past games on the smart devices?
So I haven't heard too much about this. I didn't get a chance to read the article before we did the show, so but basically it has microtransactions.
Yeah.
And it's free to play, which I think is my biggest. I was so happy with Nintendo when they did Mario, right? Mm-hmm. Because it was a more expensive title. I think it was, and I can't remember exactly what it was, like $7.99 or $9.99 or something. It was in and around the $10, right? For the Mario mobile game, Super Mario Run.
It was $10 US, I believe. So it was like almost $15 Canadian.
Still. But then you had the mobile game, you owned it, that was it. There were no microtransactions in it. It was a, you know, an experience. And it was fun. It was really polished. It was really well done. I loved it. And I thought that Nintendo was going to continue on with their, you know, like, expensive for a mobile game title, but then not supported by ads, not supported by microtransactions. And it seems like they've abandoned that model and they've gone the microtransaction route. And I'm so disappointed in that. So that alone, just the fact that it's going to be full of microtransactions, I was just like, okay, well, I'm not that big into Animal Crossing anyways, because I tried playing on the 3DS and everyone had finished playing by the time I actually picked it up. So I got burned with that experience. So I'm not a huge Animal Crossing fan, and now they're going to be full of microtransactions. So I just kind of went, click, close. Like, yeah. I'm not interested.
So they had a presentation yesterday. It was 15 minutes. It was a bit of a slog. It's definitely do not watch the 15-minute presentation. There's probably a 2-minute trailer coming down the line that'll give you just enough information. So I watched that. And yes, I agree with you. I love the fact that I could buy Super Mario Run. Unlock it. You could download it for free and then unlock the rest of the game if you enjoyed it. That was my model. I loved it.
That was the other thing too, is you could play through like the first level or two, right? And then that was 100% free. And then if you liked it, then you had the choice to unlock it. So you even got like a free trial to see if you wanted to spend the money. And both of us did. It was a super fun game.
Yeah, I really liked it. They just did an update on it and added a whole new mode and a new character that you can try to unlock through that new mode. And it's a lot of fun. The new mode is really cool. It's like it's more of a micro race where it's like 10 snippets of levels as you race through trying to collect coins. Then as you progress, you get more rewards. And eventually at the 30th progression point, you get a new character. Lots of fun. So then fast forward to Fire Emblem Heroes, in which that game needed to be free to play because it was basically like a gacha simulator, those type of games where you're unlocking new characters. I've been playing every day since the day it came out. There's at least one more person playing every day since the day it came out in Discord. Shout out to Drowfear. But it's a lot of fun. Some days I'm playing for 2 seconds. Other days I'm playing for a little bit longer than that. And then I look at this game, and yes, I agree with you. I was kind of hoping that they would kind of do a paid app and then do a free-to-play and kind of mix things up. Going from one super-duper free-to-play, give us your money, to another one of those is frustrating because Nintendo stated that they were going to be different. But the numbers don't lie.
They realized that they liked money, so...
I mean, most companies do. Let's give them that. But it's interesting to see not just that they like money, but also gamers on those platforms react with their money a lot better when it's bite-sized chunks. You know, when they want to, I want to unlock this hero because it's one of my favorites, so I'm going to give you money for orbs. This game is a little different. There will be seasonal content, as was depicted in the presentation. So basically what it is, it's set up like Animal Crossing. And this was the surprise to me, is that it is straight up an Animal Crossing game. I was worried that it was going to be like some Nintendo Lite experience, but it feels like they're giving you the core components of Animal Crossing, with decorating and interacting with characters, you know, having relationships, you know, with those characters in terms of friendship. Don't get weird, people.
Oh, I was like,
don't what? Get weird. I worded it really. The friendships with your fellow campers. Anyways, and then you can, this is where the free-to-play stuff comes in, and that you don't buy the furniture, you order it, and it's made custom. And the way they describe it is it's made custom, so it takes real time. A bench they showed, like, this bench will take 7 hours to make. Which, I mean, you ask a person how to make a bench, if they're not too motivated, it may take 7 hours to make a bench, especially if you paid for all the materials and gave them everything to work with. So then you can bribe them with these leaf tickets that you can buy from Tom Nook and basically say, like, hey, if I give you these tickets, and this is the way they word it, we'll move you up the queue. So we'll do your bench first and leave those free suckers to wait for their bench. It's a racket.
So that's why. Yeah. So the bench actually takes an hour to make, but you're actually seventh in line unless you pay the tickets.
Exactly. Now, you know, this game hasn't launched yet. It's coming out later in November. So next month, if you live in Australia and you're hearing, you know, these words, you can pause the show, go download it right now. It's actually soft launch there, I think. Still, they might have removed it actually, because a lot of people were taking advantage of that, like they do. But they moved to
Australia for a day.
Well, yeah, quote unquote. You will earn Leaf tickets through gameplay. You will earn the ability to speed things up through gameplay, but it's like every other free-to-play game where you have to wait for things to happen. Some of the bigger amenity changes, like adding a swimming pool to your campground, is going to take days instead of the hours it takes to build a bench. There's other stuff present, like you can customize your van and upgrade it. That's where you live, so you live in a van, maybe by the river, I don't know. You can shake trees, you can catch bugs, you can plant flowers. So there's a lot of like Animal Crossing tropes in there that you're going to get to do. And that was the most surprising to me, is that it feels like they've not just stripped everything out that makes Animal Crossing fun and then put it in a phone. They've actually taken Animal Crossing and just boiled it down a little bit, you know, got rid of the extra fat there that would make it too bloated for the phone, and created what looks like a condensed, really well put together Animal Crossing. But the free-to-play nature of it is not surprising, but it still is a little disappointing. But maybe this saves Nintendo's purchase to unlock for the Legend of Zelda app that they're working on next. So that's the next franchise. And honestly, I could not see them making that free-to-play. I would probably put that. Nintendo's not going to do that to one of their star franchises. I would hope not. I would be surprised if they found a way to make a free-to-play Zelda. There was the joke with Mario, 99 cents for a one-up. It's like, that never happened. They just gave you an unlock, and you got to play the game. Yeah. I can see that being the same for, another franchise that just can't support this. And Animal Crossing definitely supports a free-to-play model. It makes sense.
Can you actually, do you have a friends list on this? Can you see your friends? Like, can I visit your campsite or something like that? Can you see my campsite in your game or anything? Or is it, totally separate?
Well, here's the thing. Honestly, it's nice to see Nintendo move forward in that in the 5 years since New Leaf launched on 3DS, you're going to be able to have a friends list. You'll be able to visit their town whenever you want. You can visit their, I think it's asynchronous in that you're not interacting with them, one-on-one, but you're interacting with their persona. So you can actually talk to their character and have that interaction, but you can go to their, camp anytime you want. You can invite them to your camp anytime you want. You can look at their stuff and order it, similar to the other games. So there are those mechanics built in of community that you're gonna be able to do. And I assume similar to the game, Jocelyn's camp has apples, I have cherries, I'm gonna go to Jocelyn's camp and collect apples, she's gonna come to mine and get cherries, and then we'll plant them and take over the world. That's present as well. So it does look like they're building, it's a big app, like they're putting a lot into this that doesn't necessarily need to be there. Like when Fire Emblem Heroes launched, it was pretty basic. There was some story, there was the arena, and that's it.
Burn. I said burn.
Yeah, it was true.
You're basic.
it was a shell of a game, and now what it is there's almost, an abundance of content. Like, if you don't like arena, perfect. You can do these other challenges. Oh, here's a timed event. Here's another timed event. It's basically, they have the whole month planned out, where you always have something to look forward to coming out. But it didn't start that way. And I think Animal Crossing Pocket Camp seems to be well fleshed out at launch. Again, we'll see, but it just, in that 15-minute presentation, they showed something that could be very interesting. I don't think I'm going to spend money on it, because honestly, I'll probably play it for a week and then find that everything takes too damn long and I'll stop. Which happens every time with these games. Like, I don't know how long you usually play.
That happens to me a lot, too, where, you get into one of these games that has some sort of a skip mechanic with, you have to either wait a large amount of time or you have to pay to kind of hurry things up. And usually when I get to the point where I have to pay to hurry things up, I just stop playing.
Yeah.
So
what happens is you have to wait a day for the damn swimming pool to finish, and then you forget. And that notification just gets swiped and disappears, and then you just never open the app again because it's completely left your mindset. And this will probably happen here. The seasonal events in Animal Crossing are some of my favorite. I remember as a kid on the GameCube, me and my brothers, we got home from Christmas Eve dinner at something, probably grandma's, and the fact that I can remember the game we played when we got home, but not where we had dinner on Christmas Eve. Sorry, mom and dad. We would log into Animal Crossing, and you know, Santa would come by, and we'd like interact with all the Christmas decorations and stuff in the game. Like, it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to doing that again on my phone. And Nintendo isn't keen on giving us an Animal Crossing proper on the Switch anytime soon, so I'm excited that we're finally gonna get to play a real Animal Crossing that hasn't happened in, well, since the beginning of the show with New Leaf. Like, it's been that long. I think that was in our first year.
Yeah, New Leaf came out a long time ago. Yeah, you're right. I think it was in our first year because, it was like 4 years ago, I think. So it's a long time to wait. So, I'm glad that you're excited and you're at least going to give it a try. And
I'll give it a shot.
And it's free, so I can actually just pick it up if you say it's really, really fun.
Yeah, and you won't be left behind again because by the time you join in, I'll be waiting for my swimming pool. So you'll have plenty of time to catch up.
Perfect. I wanted to remind everybody again that we have Extra Life coming up. We are doing our live stream on November 11th, but you can go and donate now. You can go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2017 to help us towards our cause of helping sick kids. We are specifically playing for sick kids in Toronto, but there are many members of our team playing for many different hospitals that are all part of the Children's Miracle Network. So look for our stream right here on twitch.tv/AMOVETV on November 11th. We will be streaming all day long. Ryan is also going to do some stuff on November 4th, which is the Extra Life proper day. But unfortunately, they scheduled it on the same day as BlizzCon, so I will not be here, which is why we're doing it November 11th. But we are really looking forward to it, and thank you everyone for your support. You can also help us by spreading around the link if you cannot actually afford to donate right now. That is totally fine. We understand. We're also going to have some really cool kind of rewards and things for donating on the day that have to do with like interacting with the stream and stuff. So if that sounds more interesting to you, make sure that you mark November 11th in your calendar and join us on the live stream. We're going to have a lot of fun. Our team is actually doing really, really well. We're over 20% of our goal so far. So thank you everyone who has donated to the cause. We also have a patron ad this week from The Geek Review. Ryan, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, The Geek Review is a podcast that reviews everything and anything for an honest consumer review. The Geek Review can be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Discord, and at thegeekreview.podbean.com. And I did want to mention, in reference to The Geek Review, he's been posting his content in the Discord. I created a creative channel, so if anybody else wants to sort of share what they're doing, you can post it there and people can interact and give you thoughts and stuff. But yeah, check out The Geek Review, thegeekreview.podbean.com.
Awesome. You can also visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com. You can also find us on AMOVE TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken, For Azeroth, Embrace the Spoilers, and Heroes Forge. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMOVETV. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about microtransactions in Nintendo games, you can do so by emailing info@gamersandpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.